Hey, good morning, River Church. So glad that you are joining us today. I'm sorry that I can't see you face to face today, but I'm always, always grateful that we can, no matter where we are, gather together in God's name. Amen? Awesome. I have the privilege of starting off this series that we are about to get into today. But before we do, can I just pray for us one more time? As we set the stage for what is to come for the next few weeks. All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for this morning, and I want to thank you for this opportunity that we can come together to worship you, to reflect on you, to begin to explore who you are, the different aspects of you, God, and how amazing you are, the love that you have for us, and how big you are, and all of the things in between. God, we are just so grateful that we can call you King. We are grateful for your Son sent to earth to die on a cross and be resurrected. God, we are grateful for all that you've done for us. Lord, would you just speak to us today through your word? Would you encourage us? Would you just allow us to see more of who you are through the Bible and through the Spirit, God? We love you and give you glory, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, awesome, you guys. So here's the deal. We are starting a new series today, on the character and nature of God. I don't know about you, but for me, there's been a number of times, almost daily, where I think about just how big God is. Now, yeah, it's a part of my job, I get it, but when we start to just really reflect on how amazing God is, it goes on forever. I mean, I've been canoeing down the Green River and the Colorado River in dark sky areas with no moon, looking at the Milky Way, watching satellites go by, watching stars fall from the sky. I mean, it is breathtaking how big and how vast our sky is. And when I watch that and I look at that, I can't help but just allow my mind to wander, because as I see that and I see how big that is, and I can't help but think, gosh, how much more vast, how much more great is God? He is so much bigger than that. Or maybe it's I'm sitting on top of a mountain, and I'm looking at this expanse around me, and I'm just going, this is so beautiful. Just the other day, I was up at Purgatory, and I was looking at the mountains around there, and I'm going, God, this is breathtaking, and this is your creation. How much more beautiful are you? There's so many things to God. God is infinite. He has an infinite amount of aspects to who he is. He is the creator of all things. What he speaks comes to reality. I mean, you can't help but just allow your mind to go to really big places when you think about God. And today we are going to tackle what I just think is one of the biggest things about God. We're talking about just the idea of infinity, that God is infinite. He is beyond measurement. He just keeps going, and in all ways, he is infinite. I know that often when we think about infinity, when we think about that word, it goes to a measurement, right? Either an expanse, you know, like just you point a laser in one direction and it will just shoot off to infinity, you know, or you think of the measurement of just, you know, time and counting down, and the number, it just goes on and on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And that infinite amount of time that can go by, or maybe you just think of Buzz Lightyear when he just says to infinity and beyond. Sorry. I know that's kind of weird. I apologize for my impression of Buzz Lightyear, but hey, I'm in front of a camera. I don't know if you're laughing or not. But anyway, guys, I just think about, he wants to go to infinity and then beyond infinity. But here's the thing, is that you can't, I don't think, go beyond forever, right? Because it goes on forever. I don't know. There's so much greatness when it comes to even thinking that God is infinite. And I want you just for a moment to think about this, that because God invented time and God invented this space, this infinite space, and God is bigger than those things. God can step out of that measurement. God is not limited by that in who he is. So he goes beyond that. And what's beautiful about that is that we then can find comfort in the fact that he doesn't change, that he is infinite. And you know, in Hebrews 13:8, it's on our wall. You can look just to the right of the screens on the right side of the front wall there. And what does it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelations 1:8, it talks about God saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord. "I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One." He's huge. He's so big. And I am just in such awe of our Creator, of our Lord. And you know, David had an idea of this, as some did in the day. But he wrote about God's greatness all the time in the Psalms. And I want to just read to you one of the Psalms here, Psalm 139. Verses 1 through 18. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to that. I encourage you to always look at your Bible and read it and underline it. But I want to just read to you from the NIV and just share with you this passage of Scripture. So Psalm 139, starting in verse 1, it says this. And this is David writing. He goes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." It's such a beautiful portion of Scripture. And I want to look at this and bring to light just a few different areas of this idea of infinity and knowing that it is more than just a measurement. There is substance to the character and nature of God when it comes to his him being infinite. And so let's look at this together. God is, for one thing, he is infinite in his knowledge. And in Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension." I mean, think about this, all right? God knows all things. I mean, let's just mentally draw a picture. You know, you can just draw everything that is known in our world, okay? All of the information, all of the knowledge from every single person that has ever lived up to this point, all of the knowledge that has been obtained that we have. So draw a picture of that, okay? Now, just mentally in that drawing of all knowledge that is there, how much do you know? Okay, it's probably like microscopic, right? I mean, it's so tiny with what each of us may know. Now, imagine this, okay? God created all of that, all right? He spoke it into existence. He, from his greatness, from his perspective, from his all-knowing, all right, and all aspects of who he is, his from that place, he spoke all of that into existence. So all knowledge comes from God. So if all knowledge comes from him that we have, he, by just walking this back logically, would have even more knowledge than even what we can comprehend or what we even have down from the beginning of history, from the beginning of our history to now. I mean, that's so big. He knows all of this. And the cool thing with God is that he's never juggling the tasks. He always has all of his attention fully focused on all things, right? He has comprehensive knowledge of everything that's happening, that has happened, or that will happen. I mean, think about this for a second. So God, yeah, he knows what's going on in every single place. It's kind of like he has that 30,000 foot view. So he sees all the different aspects of what's happening at every single moment. And then he also has the quantum level view, that most intimate of intimate places where he can just know, I mean, the number of hairs on your head, right? It's like he knew you before your parents knew you. He was there when you were forming. I mean, it talks about through so much of that, through a lot of that scripture, it just says, you know, you knew me. You knew me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You know this stuff. He's out of the bonds of time from this aspect. And I want you to just think about that, out of the bonds of time, okay? So if we're looking at the measurement of time, and God is out of that, let's just take this dry erase marker here and just let's pretend that this is you, okay? This is your timeline, you know, from when you were born to when you die. And so because God knows all things and he's out of this bounds of this measurement of time, he can be in every single one of these areas all at once. He can look at your life and go, man, This is when you skin your knee, and oh my gosh, this is when you got married, and this is when you had kids, and he just knows all this stuff, and he can look at every single aspect, and he's all around it, and he knows all of this stuff that's going on at the same time, past, present, and future. He knows all of this stuff, and in Psalm 139, verse 6, he says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand." God is so big, and he knows all things. And for many of us, this can be somewhat comforting, I would imagine, that if he knows this, if he knows you, if he knows these things, if he knows your thoughts, even before, you know, you're verbalizing them, if he knows that stuff, then that can be a very comforting thing to some. It can be kind of scary, too. I mean, let's be real. We're not always thinking the best things, right? We're not always doing the best things. But God knows. He knows. And it kind of leads into the next thing. So yeah, God is infinite in his knowledge of all things. Like I said, you know, drawing the picture and all of that stuff. But he's infinite in his presence as well. He's infinite in his presence. In 139 verse 7, he goes, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. When I'm in the darkest of darks, you're there. When I'm in the light, you're there. No matter where I go, for as far as the east is from the west, no matter where I go, you are there." The word omnipresent best describes this aspect of God's infinity. And what that means is being present everywhere at the same time. So not only does he know all things, but he is everywhere at the same time. So let's take a look at that timeline again. God is presently in your past, in your present, and in your future, all at the same time. No matter where you go, there he is. All right? And not only is that the case with you, but that is the case with the 7 billion other people on the planet right now. And that was the case with everybody before, And that's the case with everybody after. And I know that a lot of times we can start to think, you know, well, God's in the trees or God's in the mountain, you know, and all of that stuff. But I would like to challenge that thinking and say, okay, yes, God is omnipresent. So he's everywhere at every time. Okay, he's always there. But he's not necessarily in the tree. I would say that he's at the tree. He's created the tree. He's the one that's making the sap go up and down in the tree, but he created the tree to do its thing. He was there and knew, had the knowledge on how to create the branches to stand out, to stick out, to do what trees do at the right seasons, to make pine cones and pollen and all of that stuff, to shed old pine needles and to create new ones. I mean, all of that stuff, God had the knowledge and he spoke those things and he created all of that stuff. And we get to benefit from that. But he is there in his presence all the time. The presence of God is just not with you. Like I said, he is present with everyone. And this can be, again, a little convicting, right? It's like, oh my gosh, God is with me. When I'm sinning, he's there. When I'm messing up, he's there. When I'm, you know, all of that stuff. But at the same time, he can be comforting. Always there. When you feel alone, he's there. You're not alone. God's with you. I mean, scripture talks about, he says to the Israelites, and I believe that in saying that to them, he's also saying it to you and to me. He goes, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I mean, God is there taking care of us, watching out for us, protecting us. And I don't know, you kind of think of it in two ways, you know, the convicting and the comforting. It's like, kind of like a parent, right? I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but my parents actually took my date and I out to the movies. And when I wasn't able to drive and stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. We're just going to go with you to the movies on your date. Kind of frustrating, you know, I'm just like, makes things very awkward. Also in the same vein, I know that there's been times when I've scraped my knee, but there's been times when I've fallen and I had family right there to get me, to pick me up. My parents were right there to comfort me when I had a bad baseball game, and my dad was there to say, it's okay. You've got this next time. And then helped me and walked through just growing and improving on my game. The thing is that God is doing the same thing with us. Of course, he's going to convict. Of course, it's going to be a struggle sometimes because you're like, oh my gosh, is he ever going to leave me alone? But at the same time, do you really want him to leave you alone? God is present. He's present. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And the beautiful thing about God is that he doesn't force himself on you. Instead, he reveals himself. So, he says this in Revelation 3:20. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. I mean, how beautiful is that? You see, God isn't just going to force his way into your life. No, he's going to patiently wait. You know, he says he never leaves you or forsakes you. And you know, he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And so when we do that, when we draw near, the thing is that he's already there. He's been waiting for us to come into a relationship with him, right? And so that's a beautiful thing about God's character. Is that in his infinite understanding of who we are, he is patient and is going to wait for us to come to him. Now, we're going to get into patience, I believe, later on in the series. But God is so good that he never forces himself on anybody, but he does reveal himself, and it's a beautiful thing. And so when he's knocking on that door, he's just waiting for you to open it up and say, Lord, I want you in my life. I don't want to be alone. I want to feel and experience and encounter your presence always, always. So he's there. He's not leaving us, right? He's not forsaking us. Another amazing thing about God's infinite character is that he is infinite in his power. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. God spoke, and there it was. I mean, how amazing is that? God, in his infinite understanding, in his infinite knowledge and presence and power, he spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was the heavens and the earth. He spoke and there was the moon. He spoke and there was waves and water. He spoke and there was land. And he spoke and the waves don't go over the land. They stop. He spoke and there were animals. He spoke and there were people. I mean, what a power that God has. He speaks and mountains are formed. He speaks and stars go in the sky. He just is so amazing and so powerful and so great. And Jesus even, he goes into this. And he demonstrates to us the same power. Remember, Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us, right? And so here's Jesus he's healing the sick. He's laying his hands on him and he's healing the leper. He's making the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He even brings to life those that are dead. This is the power of God. He also, in the midst of storms, speaks and the storms cease. That's awesome power. And that's the kind of power that our God has. Infinite, infinite power. It's a beautiful thing. There is nothing and no one greater than our God. He's awesome. He's awesome. And with all of that, so he's all-knowing. He's everywhere, all the time. Past, present, future. He's all-powerful. And with all of this big greatness, what I also love to think about is that he is infinite also in his love and his grace. When we logically think about it, because God is infinite, all aspects of who he is are also infinite. Therefore, even his love and his grace are infinite. Everything about God, because he is infinite, everything about God is infinite. So his love is infinite and his grace is infinite. He loves you so much. He loves you infinity. I mean, Tony Stark only loves his kid, you know, Avengers. He only loves him 3,000. God loves you infinity. Okay? And not just you, but every single person on the planet, every single person in humanity, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of created time, he has loved all people. And he loves you so much that he was willing to do whatever it took to be reconciled with you, whatever it took, to the point of going on the cross, sacrificing himself and dying for you, and 3 days later, being resurrected from the dead. That's how big God's love is. In John 3:16 and 17, it says, For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. I mean, how beautiful is this? That God's love is so big, his grace is so big, that he was willing to do whatever it took to bring you back into relationship. His grace is infinite. And in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Now this is kind of a funky verse, but what it's talking about is that Jesus, who had everything, who had his infinite knowledge and understanding of all things, who had the ability to be anywhere at any time, humbled himself, became human, became God with us, Emmanuel, and had the confines of being, walking on gravity and you know, falling in the water and doing all this. Well, he walked on water and stuff too, but he was confined to the constraints of time, right? And so all of this stuff, he's there with us. And so he dies on a cross like a thief, all right? Being humbled, being mocked, being, you know, tortured and ridiculed and spit upon and beaten, all these things. He became poor so that we could become rich. Rich in what? Rich in the inheritance of the kingdom of God. You and I, if we have a relationship with God, if we have called Jesus Savior and Lord, we are heirs to God. I mean, we are His kids, and that's a beautiful thing. We have been made rich in the kingdom of heaven because of what Jesus did for us by reconciling that relationship through the cross. God is amazing. He is infinite. And today, I hope that you can remember this beautiful and amazing aspect of who God is. I want to finish with reading Revelation 4 to you today. To close up, this is just an image, a vision that John saw when he was looking to God, and God revealed this to him. And it says this in Revelation 4, starting in verse 1. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. It's a really short chapter, and it says this. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings of and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, and in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third, the face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, and I want you to hear this today. We talk about it a lot, but here it is. You ever wonder where it is found in Scripture? Here it is. They were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." What an amazing, amazing scripture. What a great visual to know that the God we serve, the God that we worship, He is forever and ever and ever. He is infinite. May you today be reminded of His infinite love, His infinite grace. He won't ever give up His infinite power to speak life. His infinite knowledge of knowing exactly who you are, creating you in your wonderful, beautiful self, and being infinitely there and in your present and in your past and in your future. He is always there, always looking out, never forcing, but always revealing. He is good. He is so, so good. And He is forever and ever and ever. Let me close in prayer, and let's just give God glory for this one aspect of an infinite number of aspects. God, we thank You for Your love today, and we are so grateful for who You are and all aspects of who You are. We thank You that there is an infinite number of them, and we've only touched on a few today and just looked a little bit, but Lord, through Your word, There are so many great and amazing things of who you are that are revealed. Lord, may we never stop learning about you. May we always keep seeking you. And may we always find more and more about who you are so that we can love you even greater. God, I thank you for the power that is yours, the love that is yours, the grace that is yours, the knowledge that is yours, and your presence that is always there, never forcing, but always revealing. We love you, Lord. Be with us this week as we go about our lives. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you in all things. We give you glory, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen, you guys. Well, hey, have a great rest of your week. And we will see you right back here next Sunday. God bless you guys. Take care.